You're listening to Whamtas, the only podcast on the internet that takes comedy seriously. Thanks for listening to Whamtas.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Whamtas, and my name is Waffles, your host of this episode today. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, gee, Waffles, you haven't released a Whamtas in a while. And you know what? You're right. You're very astute and very smart, and might I say, very good looking. Have you done something with your hair? Oh, you listener of this show, always looking so stunning and amazing. You didn't need to dress up just to listen, but I appreciate it anyways. Thank you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being respectful of the time and energy that I put into making this episode by making it a nice occasion. Why don't more people celebrate listening to podcasts? Food for thought. Thinking of thinking, you might be thinking to yourself, there hasn't been a Whamtas for a while, at least several months, if not longer. I don't know, I can't do maths. But you're right, there hasn't been. And to explain why, I need to tell you a story. You see, I joined a death cult. And I'm not just talking about capitalism. Wah, wah. But on a more serious note, I did accidentally join a death cult. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, if you are of the thinking variety, now, Waffles, how does one accidentally join a death cult? And in order to answer that question, I need to answer it, and you need to listen to the answer. So this is the deal that we are going to make. You shut your pretty little lips and open your gorgeous ears, and I will tell you the story of all of the cults that I've accidentally joined over the years. The first cult that I joined was when I was very, very young. In fact, so young that I can't really remember it. However, from reconstructions and deep hypnotic therapies, I've been able to reconstruct the memories of my first cult experience. See, I must have been only 2 or 3 years old, and somehow I ended up joining this cult called Kindergarten. I think it might have been a German cult of some kind. Effectively, my parents would drop me off at this secret location with other very young people. Now, this cult was strange. Not like other cults, you know, like, it's not like other cults, but it's not, you know, when cults are on Instagram and they're like, I'm not like other cults, I'm a bit whimsy. Now, this cult was truly very different. For one thing, I think the oldest member of the cult must have only been 3 or 4 years old. Now, usually in my experience with cults, and I didn't realize this until much later on, usually the leaders of cults are a lot older than that. But this leader of the cult was a bit older than I was at the time, but still very young, especially where cult leaders are concerned. And there was some crazy, just truly wild, bizarre rituals that we got tied up into doing, like the ritual of nap time, where just for several hours of the day, we would fall unconscious and hallucinate. And that's not even the beginning of it, because there was also story time, where we would sit in a circle as this thrall that the leader had somehow, I'm not quite sure how, but through some sort of arcane occultic ritual, had enthralled this large giant of a creature to come and tell us a story, where we would sit meditating and hallucinate the goings on of the story. Now, there were these ancient texts that they would melodically read to us in order to alter our state of mind into such that we would hallucinate the goings on of these texts and somehow manifest them into reality, as then we would find ourselves in this further augmentation of the ritual called playtime, reenacting the happenings of the quote-unquote so-called story, where we would take on the persona of the characters in the story and replay them in order to somehow reclaim the power that was stolen of us through the meditation. But it wasn't all bad. There was also snack time, a ritual upon which we would eat food together in order to nourish us and replenish our energies for the day. And there was this strange substance, which I've never come across since, called Play-Doh, which was this non-Newtonian fluid solid something, some strange exotic form of matter which they somehow had manifested, whereupon you could manipulate it into any shape that you desired. Now this is the really truly bizarre thing about it, listener, and you might not believe this, but I swear that this is true. You could then re-manipulate the Play-Doh into taking on another shape. Now, if that just sent shivers down your spine, I can totally understand that. And for some of the more sensitive listeners of you out there, you might need to take a second, to take a moment to pause the podcast and to reconstitute yourself after hearing such a shocking revelation. But I swear on all that is unholy that it's true. Now, I was in this cult for several years before I realized, you know, because when you're in a cult, it's very hard to get out, and you don't always realize, because it just becomes your day-to-day, it just becomes normal. And because you're surrounded by everybody else in the cult, it takes a lot to break out of it. And well, I must have been a bit older at the time when I realized, like, hang on, I'm in a cult, and I stopped going. However, it's this strange goings on that once you've been in one cult, it's very easy to slip into the habit of going into another one. And so I found myself becoming a member, unknowingly, of course, at first, into the cult of Shul. Now, this is a very popular, very widespread cult that a lot of people, in my experience, and in fact, the vast majority of acquaintances that I've ever made have somehow gone through this cult before breaking out of it. Some people are still in it, which is shocking to me after we've identified it and identified the harms that the cult of Shul is doing to people, and the fact that many parents of young people sign their kids up, they sacrifice their kids on the altar of Shul. Not a literal sacrifice where the child is killed or anything like that, nothing so barbaric or simplistic, but no, but more of a spiritual sacrifice or a sacrifice of time and energy, whereupon the child could have become anything else other than a member of the cult of Shul. However, the parents and this is, now, you might think that I'm getting conspiratorial, but I promise you that I'm not. But I have uncovered evidence that the government is involved, and the government almost forces parents to enroll. That's what they call it. They call it enrolling, the ritual of joining the child to the cult of Shul is called an enrollment. Ugh. But the government's behind it, right? The government coerces parents into enrolling their children into this cult. Now, the really sinister thing is that even though it is a singular cult, it takes on many forms, and so it can be very difficult to identify that you're actually in the cult, because you see other people in other cults of Shul, and you think, oh, look at those fools in the cult of Shul. It's not like the Shul that I am a member of is a cult. No, I am the normal one. This is totally, totally fine, but those other fools in their cult of Shul, oh, how we mock them, and how we play games against them to prove our superiority, that our cult of Shul is the better cult of Shul. But it's the same cult of Shul. The rituals are almost identical. They just fancy them up at certain places. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, if you are, of course, thinking, if the cult of Shul has not diminished your ability to think. Now, I don't recall ever having come across the cult of Shul, and that's how it gets you, is that the fact that you're going through the cult of Shul is so traumatic and so mind-altering that so many people just would prefer to forget it than relive the constant horror. Now, I'm going to describe the cult of Shul to you just so that you can be forewarned that if you ever come across this cult, you will know to steer clear and avoid its influence. That, once again, to reiterate, the government is behind. It goes all the way to the top. Every member of the government has gone through the cult of Shul, and many of them are still members of its higher echelon. There is, in fact, a minister in the government whose only sole job as their portfolio is to oversee the cult of Shul. Right, the high priest of the cult of Shul is in the government. Now, I'm going to describe it to you so that you can get a better idea and a better picture of what I am talking about. It starts by having to get up very early in the morning. Did you know that there is a 6 a.m. in the morning? Because I had completely forgotten. I was under the illusion that time did not begin until at least 9:30. And 9:30 was only the time of the first alarm, of course, which we all sleep through until the glorious and almost spiritually divine time that is 10 o'clock, where, of course, we snooze that second alarm and just lay in an ever so blissful twilight of a slumber, waiting for the 10:15 time to very lazily get up and make ourselves a coffee alarm. Such a blissful time. But no, did you know that time exists before that? And the cult of Shul uses this fact to their benefit by forcing their members awake at such ungodly hours as 6:30 or 7. Ugh, I shudder at the thought But no, you must be awake and then perform the morning rituals of breaking your fast. Now, I know most of us prefer to break our fasts at a much later time, but imagine preparing food at such an early hour. It is why it's barbaric. And get this, most members of the Cult of Shul are not permitted to drink coffee. They are considered too young, that the coffee would have detrimental effects of them, and denying this sweet, glorious elixir to their members, they go and perform the rituals, sleep-deprived, and without the aid of the sleep elixir. It is truly mind-boggling to behold. So they assemble. That's what they call it. They call it an assembly. An assembly. Ugh, what kind of word? That's a culty word if I've ever heard one, right? And I've been in a lot of cults, and I would recognize a word associated with cult, and assembly is definitely one of them. And now the principal of the Cult of Shul will then decree to the, now get this, all this cult lingo, right? Now I'm going to have to catch you up on, right? They call the young members of the Cult of Shul students, and they claim to be bestowing wisdom upon them in the ritual of learning. Now, personally, if I want to do a learning, I will go on to TikTok or a YouTube or even perchance an Instagram and allow one of the licensed influencers to influence me with their learning practices. And that is how I, a normal member of society, accrue knowledge in of course, a very normal and good way that society has taught us is the correct way to accrue knowledge, if not through TikTok or YouTube or Instagram or some other form of socialized media. But in the Cult of Shul, no, there are what they call teachers, who will attempt to teach the students knowledge and wisdom. But, now this is the most sinister thing, is that upon the teaching, the child, and I want to stress this point, as they are only a child, a young, non-mature human, is then forced to learn the lessons, but not only learn the lessons, but to go through tests of their knowledge to prove unto the institute that is the Cult of Shul that the teachings have been ingrained into them. And you might think to yourself, oh, this is a terrible ritual. At least it couldn't last all that long. But this is where you're wrong, as the student is then forced by the government, and I will keep on reiterating that point until it sinks in, they are then forced to stay in the institution of Shul for many years of their life until they have reached maturity, upon which they are then given the option, and this is the sinister thing, this is the really sinister thing, is they're told this is an option, but really it is forced upon them to then continue participating in the Cult of Shul in what they call a collage or an universitai, where instead of teachers, you now have professors. And instead of classrooms, class, you know, like the class system, class warfare and all that sort of stuff, upper class, lower class, middle class, blah, 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 right? They co-opt the language of society in order to fool us. And that they put these students into classes, right? They force them into the class system. But no, these collages or universitais or institutes of higher learning, this language that they use just drips in cult ness. I don't know how else to describe it. I was not given a word to describe just the cultiness of the language that they use. If only somebody had, you know, if any one of you knows a bit of word, please, I would be willing to hear it and maybe partake on the knowledge of myself. If only there was some way of describing how that happened, but it eludes me. Anyways, and so this is the thing, is that there are still, even past childhood or adolescence, there are still adults, adult humans, adult people that are so ingrained in the cult that even when they are given the option of leaving the cult behind, they choose willingly. But I would say less willingly because of, you know, the indoctrination of it all, to continue in the rituals of Shul. And so that was, and this is the thing, that was only the second cult. The second cult that I realized that I'd been participating in. And I got out of that cult as soon as I could. It was, one day I just thought, I'm in a cult. This is so, they had us in one of these classrooms, this room of class, enforcing class upon us. And they were trying to teach us this ancient ritual of mathematica. And there were what they call these numbers. Now, if you're not familiar with numbers, and I am totally understanding if you're not, but let me just enlighten you. Numbers are like letters, but they're different. But the really sinister thing is that they were trying to tell us that sometimes a letter could also represent a number. And I was just like, no, this is cult stuff. Like, this is occultish, this is arcane, this is very clearly you're trying to get me to summon something by substituting not only this system of number, but you're telling me that a letter can also be a number when you've been spending the last several years telling me that numbers and letters were different and now they're the same? Now that really got me going. That really, I was just like, nope, I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore. And I thought that I was out. I thought that I was done with cults. Until I found myself in the theater, the cult of the theater. Now, this was a really, truly sinister cult. As I thought, and this was the truly sinister thing about it, right? Is that all of these cults that I'd been in previously, I'd been myself. I'd been Waffles, the humble human being. But the cult of theater was sinister in the fact that it told me that I could be something else. And I thought, oh, I'm being something else. I'm not Waffles in this moment. I am a cowardly lion or a frog who is also a footman. Imagine that, the whimsy and delight of a frog. Now, you know what a frog is, that little jumpy amphibian type creature that we all know and love and get such joy from. And footman, the blessed profession of footman that every child aspires to be. You grow up hearing stories of footmen and you think, yes, I like feet and I like men. I shall grow up to become a footman. And the combination of a frog being a footman, delight and whimsy and just, oh, I get to live out two of my dreams at once. The dream of being a frog and the dream of being a footman. This is so pure and delightful and very, very far from what I thought a cult could be. And then there was, of course, the ritual of play. And now you might think to yourself, you might have listened and remembered in your brain that all the way back in the cult of kindergarten, right, there was the ritual of playtime, where we were reenacting the stories that we had heard in the ritual of story time with the hallucinations, right? And now the cult of theater takes that ritual and expands upon it. In fact, it seems that the entire cult is dedicated almost fanatically to the ritual of playtime, whereupon you are given a character to embody. Not only that, you are given what they call the ritual of the script, which is this ancient and occult document where you must upon imprint the words upon your very soul, so that when you are reenacting the ritual in front of an audience, and this is the thing, right, is that this, all these other cults, they are very private and insular and behind closed doors, but the cult of theater flaunts it into society, where as a member of society, you can go and view one of these rituals out in the open. Sometimes you must go to a specific building, also called a theater, in order to view upon the ritual taking place on the stage. And what is a stage if not just a very large altar, I put to you? Now, also, sometimes they put these altars outdoors, and you can just wander upon a theatric ritual occurring in the great outdoors in front of the public. And the public are then brought into this ritual completely unaware that they are participating in cult behavior. Now, that is truly sinister. And I was in this cult for several years, participating in multiple of these rituals upon which I would embody multiple characters, a lot of them not even human. And in my research, I realized that this ritual has been taking place in human society for thousands of years, where upon humanity would perform these rituals to the god Bacchus or a Dionysus or some other pagan god of the theater. And also, I might put into you, the god of wine. So alcohol is involved, and we all know that alcohol has never done anything wrong. And so just a fun little tidbit for you, nothing to do with the cult or whatever, just the fact that when you're drinking alcohol, you might also be participating in this ritual. I don't know, I really haven't looked into that. I've not actually joined any of the alcoholic cults yet. I have heard that there is this anonymous cult that is entirely devoted to alcoholism, but and unfortunately I have not yet come across it, as it of course is anonymous and nobody talks about it. But only in my very obscure research have I even come across mere mentions of the fact that this cult may or may not exist. But that is beside the point. As then I, after many years also of being indoctrinated into this cult and participating in these rituals in multiple different methodologies, I somehow was able to wrench myself free of these cults. And now, this is my most ashamed confession to you, dear listener, as I stumbled into yet another cult afterwards. And this cult is truly, truly the worst. And I would, upon my greatest emphasis, urge you to avoid this cult at all costs. These other cults, they are harmful, yes, in myriad ways. However, this cult that I'm going to describe to you next is truly the sinister one of the bunch. And you can find yourself in any of the other cults, but if you can help it, I would avoid this one the most. And I might also point out that this cult in particular is very, very heavily influenced by the government. It goes all the way to the top, right? You thought the cult of Shul was bad, right? Most members of the government. See, there's only one member of the cult of Shul in the government, but this next cult that I'm about to describe to you, It almost seems that every member of the government is somehow involved in this one, and it's just so blatant and so out in the open, and I don't know why most people haven't seen that they are in this cult, and maybe it is the insular nature of it all, but it's so you might even be in this cult that you're unaware of, and what I say next might shock you to your very core, and so just prepare for that. To take a moment, take in a deep breath, get yourself in a safe mindset, and just know that this knowledge is going to change your worldview, and that is okay. All right, you're ready, you've taken your deep breath, you've steeled yourself, you've prepared to take in this information that might shock you to your very core. Good. I have faith in you. I believe in you. The next cult is the cult of employment. The cult of work. Now, you might think to yourself that work is a physics term that you learn, that work is just energy over distance and time, that, you know, work is just, well, a force does work to an object, and how can that be called? That's just the nature of the universe. But no, they've once again co-opted the language of the universe into the cult structure. That's work or employment is everywhere. That you do and I shudder at even saying this word, but you do a job. Oh, I'm sorry that you had to hear that. I apologize. I will refer to it now just as the J word. That when you go to your J word, and they get you to do the W word under the contract. And this is the thing, contracts. Do you know who signs contracts? Warlocks. Warlocks sign contracts with their patrons in order to get eldritch powers from them, as is commonly known. I don't know why I'm explaining that. You are familiar with the concept of warlocks. You might even be one yourself. But you remember that contract that you had to sign with your patron? Now remember when your employer got you to sign a contract so that you could acquire employment? Yeah. Yeah. I bet a lot of things are starting to make sense for you now. I bet a lot of pieces are now falling into place. Your whole life now makes sense in a very strange anguish. You look back and you realize all those contracts that you've had to sign, all those rituals of showing up to your place of W at a certain time, the same time for most of you every day, day in and day out for years, in a very ritualistic manner. And of course, you gain no benefit from this. It just gives you something to do, something to expend your energy on. So therefore, you cannot expend your energy, I don't know, doing something more productive, like uncovering the existence of a super cult that is run by the government, upon which you were then put through at first kindergarten, which then prepares you for Shul, and then after Shul, you were given the option of continuing to participate in more Shul, or to then go on into the workforce. The word force is right in there. They force you into work. And then you spend your life. You spend your life force. They sacrifice your life force in this place of employment up until you are retired. Now you wake up in the morning and you're already tired because you did not get much sleep. But after you have finished your years, sometimes even decades of work, you are retired. You are tired again. You are doubly tired you are like the pathetic amount of currency that they throw at you as part of the ritual. Spent. And then you have nothing but to live out the rest of your life looking back and realizing, oh, I never got to live out my dream of becoming a footman, the most noble of professions, because I was spending all of my time participating in this ritual. And so that, dear listener, is why there hasn't been an episode in several months, as I have been deep undercover discovering all of this cult behavior. And it goes, once again, I will reiterate, all the way to the top. And so now, armed with this knowledge, dear listener, I then bestow upon you the task, or more, the question of, now that you know this, now that your life has been changed by this information, what are you going to do about it? And so I say, I am actually setting up a group where we can all meet in my basement. I'm going to light some candles. I found this really cool design online of a pentagram, which is like this five-sided shape, and if you arrange the candles in a certain manner. And I found this really cool book, which is called the Necronomicon, which then a bunch of us, we're just going to become, you know, really good friends, and we're going to read from this book, and we're going to light some candles, and we're going to sing some songs and do some chanting, wear these really fashionable black robes that are just all the rage these days. Everybody that I know is wearing them. We've got these really cool like masks that we'll also wear, and you know, just go into this basement, and there is this really cool guy called Baal, which I've met, and now Baal is trapped in this prison, and you know, Baal has told me that if we light these candles and we, you know, do these chants and things like that, and if we find somebody called Virgin, and we sacrifice Virgin in this pentagram with the candles lit and all that sort of stuff while doing the chanting, then Baal can be free from the prison. And so if you know who Virgin is, and would like to sacrifice them on the altar of Baal in order to free Baal, in order to bring this nice, refreshing, dark rain to the world, then by all means, get in contact with me. I will leave details on how to join. All it's very simple. All you need to do is just offer up a blood sacrifice, and we'll accept you into the group. And yeah, and so I'm looking forward to hearing from any of you that would like to join and like to participate. And I think that's about it. And so thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Tell your friends. Don't keep this a secret. Tell all your friends. And I will hopefully have another episode out in less time than it took to get this one out. And I hope you have a very good day. Goodbye.